Well, it's an honor to be up here. It's not just an honor, but a privilege. And I appreciate it, preacher.
Amen, brother.
I'll take the credit card.
Take it all. You got your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 11 in one hand and 2 Kings 17 in the other. And I've entitled this message, The Results of Disobedience. And you got going on here in chapter 10, Moses just got done going back over the Decalogue and the Ten Commandments and giving them the law. And here in chapter 11, start at verse 16, he says, Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You know, the word heart appears in the Bible over 800 times. God's got a lot to say about your heart. And the Bible says, be not deceived. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. You know what the problem is? The problem is a lot of people think that they're all right. Their heart's deceived.
That's right.
That's not just for lost people. That's for Christians. That's for each and everybody in here, me included.
Amen.
That you're deceived. That you think you're all right. You think your heart's clean. But the Bible said that the heart is desperately wicked. Above all, who can know it? So we read on and the Bible said, and serve other gods and worship them, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. And he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Let's pray. Brother Joe, will you pray for me?
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the willingness of our brother Eric. And I just pray that you hide him behind the cross.
Oh, God, help me, Lord.
Wash me in the blood. Father, open our hearts and our minds. And Father, we pray that you be pleased with this message.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
So here you have, he's giving them what to do. He's telling them to take heed of yourself. He's giving them a warning. So he goes on, he starts to tell them in verse 18, he starts to tell them what to do, how to take heed, and how to prevent falling away from God. He says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them, listen now, teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house.
Amen.
You in your house. He's talking about constantly, all the time, repetition. He's not talking about that stinking idiot box. Turn the idiot box off for a minute and start teaching your kids the Bible.
Amen.
Start showing them what's in the book and showing them and learning.
Amen.
Why? Because it's important. The Lord has a lot to say about your heart. And what goes into your heart, what goes into your eyes, and what goes into your ears, it affects you. It's affecting your children. It's affecting you who you're letting them hang out with.
Right.
You need to get in this book and start reading it. And he says, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. You know why he said that? He didn't just say that for everybody else in the world to see. He didn't say, well, put scripture on your car or convict you about doing it for everybody else. That's a reminder for you folks.
Amen.
That's a reminder for me. You know, when I first started coming to this church, I soaked my car with scripture magazines. Not for anybody else. I had a problem with smoking. I had to put it on there to remind myself. I can't be riding down the road smoking cigarettes and flicking them out the window with scripture signs all over the car. I can't be flicking people off and getting mad and having road rage with that scripture on there. That's a reminder for you.
Amen.
That's a reminder for you to follow after the Lord. He's giving you a warning. He's telling you to memorize scripture. He said, you hide it in your heart. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's not just memorizing it. It's in your heart. When I hide something, I don't remember where it's at. If I hide it from you, I know where it's at. But when I hide it from myself and forget about it, I don't know where it's at. But when I need it, it comes up.
That's right.
So the Bible said, thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gate, that thy days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now listen to this. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. He's talking about driving out the world.
Amen.
What's happening is the Bible said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Amen.
And what's going on is you're letting the world come in. You're not sticking to the precepts and the statutes and the commandments of the Lord. You're following after the ways of all the nations around you. Just like nation Israel, we want a king. We want to be like the nations all around us. And you see how that turned out for them.
Yeah.
Look over in 2 Kings 17. I'll try and get through this quickly.
Yeah, you're doing good.
So that's B.C. 1451 is when it's dated in my Bible. And it right here in 2 Kings 17 is dated B.C. 678. That's only 773 years later. They haven't even went a whole millennium yet. Now look at verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria, instead of the children of Israel, instead of the children of Israel, instead of the members of Faith Baptist, instead of the members of the community of Smyrna and Hartley and Marydale. He placed other people there. Just like preachers talked about the church that he seen with Brother Jack. Now it's a Muslim mosque. That could be us. That could be this church tonight. He says, take heed. He says, listen to the warning. So he says, verse 24, and he says, and dwelt in the cities thereof. Well, why did it happen? Well, he just told you the warning back in Deuteronomy. He told you how to avoid it. Look at verse 6, chapter 17. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habar by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. Not sinning against me, folks. Not sinning against the other members in the church. You're sinning against a holy and just God.
Amen.
And he's righteous in his judgment. He has a lot of grace and he has a lot of mercy. I'm witness to that. I'm testimony to that.
Amen.
But he's righteous and he's not going to keep letting it slide. He's not going to let it slide without judging it, or he wouldn't be righteous. So he says, for it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and to the kings of Israel, which they had made. And look at verse 9. I'll hit a couple of these verses, and I'll get to the message. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord, their God. Secretly. The things that you think nobody else has seen. The things that you're not posting on Facebook. The things that you're not tweeting or twatting or whatever you call it. The things that you're not showing everybody else on it. If the outside of the cup's that dirty, what's the inside look like?
Amen.
If the outside of your cup's that dirty and you're that transparent, what's the inside look like?
Amen.
What's going on behind the door secretly? Bible said, behold, the eyes of the Lord in every place. Beholding the evil and the good. He sees what you're doing. It's not hid from us. You're sinning against God. Look what it says, that we're not right against the Lord their God. You know how many times a couple of the teenagers that can bear with me, they'll come over and sit at the house and talk with me, and they say, well, we're not doing wrong. Well, you're not doing wrong, but are you doing right?
Yeah, amen.
That's the question. For him to know to do right and not to do it, to him it is sin.
Amen.
You don't want to go out and knock on doors? It's sin, plain and simple. It's not because Brother Eric said it, or not because Brother Joe or Ken or preacher. It's sin. For him to know to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. If you're not going out witnessing and telling people about Jesus Christ, whether it's street preaching or knocking on doors or it's just handing a tract to somebody in the gas station, but if you won't do it with an accountability team, are you going to do it by yourself?
Yeah.
I doubt it. Maybe, but I doubt it. So look at verse 10. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill, sitting at home. Right after verse 9, skip to 10. He says, and they set up images. How many times have you sat inside your house and turned that stinking idiot box on and seen something on it that you shouldn't have seen?
That's right.
And you know it. You know it just like I know it. Because why don't I have a TV? It ain't because I'm spiritual. It's because I know I'd watch the filth if I had it.
Amen.
I can't have it. It's filth. It's junk. I take and throw it out. So he says, and they set up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And by the way, the Bible said, David said, if it offend you, to get rid of it. Cast it out. Get rid of it. Verse 11, verse 12, for they served idols, whereof the Lord had sent unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
It's what the Lord showed me. I had to deal with it myself, and I'm trying to help you guys. Verse 13, verse 2, we'll start at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. There's that word again, their heart. He set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. This book is a double-edged sword, folks.
Right.
You read it, you want to come to it with an alibi? You want to find an alibi for your sin, God will give it to you. He'll turn you over to reprobate mind. And that's not a sex perversion alone. He'll turn you over to yourself. He'll send you on your way. I've seen it time and time again. I've only been saved for about four years now. But I grew up in church with Frederica. Preacher talks about Sam Ingram all the time. I grew up under him. Jack was there. My wife was there. A couple other folks were there. I seen it. I seen the church split. I know what happens when you set up idols in your heart. Take heed.
Amen.
Verse number 14, notwithstanding, They would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenants that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity. What's vanity? Bible said, wherefore as you know not what shall be in tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. That's vanity. It's a vapor. It's gone. It's nothing. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's gone. It's vanity. It's nothing. It's worthless. Vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they didn't regard the preacher. They didn't regard the Bible. They rejected it completely. They hardened their neck, and they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to the word of God. Preacher has several different people come up here all the time, and they preach, and they preach, and preach, and you harden your neck. Well, tonight, I'm telling you, we've got sin in the camp. Need to get it out. Stop hardening your neck. Listen to the words of the Lord. Everybody likes to get up here and quote Brother George. And I'll tell you something Brother George said. And one thing that stuck on me, and it stabbed me. It hurt me. He said, when I get up here, it's not me. If it's the word of God, you got to submit. It's the Bible, folks. You got to submit to the Bible. You got to submit to the word of God. It's not my opinion that matters. It's not how I feel today. It doesn't matter how I feel. Every day is the Lord's day. Not just Sunday. Not just Wednesday night. Every day is the Lord's day. You're bought with a price. It's your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to serve the Lord. It's not grievous to do what the Lord tells you to do, because what happens? He blesses you. Oh, my goodness. First, he tells me to do something. I serve him. I don't get whooped. And then he rewards me. I don't know where's the fault in that. Where am I going wrong?
Amen.
I get to be obedient. I don't get beat. And then he blesses me.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Amen.
And they caused their sons and their daughters, verse 17, to pass through the fire and to use divination and enchantments, and sold them to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Are you provoking the Lord to anger? Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. These people sold themselves to do wrong. They sold themselves to do things of all the nations around them, just like we can do. We can sell ourselves to do what the world wants us to do. We can run down to the beach. I'm not against having a good time. But you got to watch what you're putting before your eyes. You got to watch what you're putting before your kids. And parents, I got little ones, they're coming up. And you let your teens do what they want to do, and they bring it in this church, and my kids are seeing it.
That's right. Yeah.
They're going to end up just like I was. Your teens are going to end up just the same way I did. I grew up in church.
That's right.
Every Sunday morning, every Sunday school, every revival. Coming over here to revival. I got saved 4 years ago. I grew up in church. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
You understand? You're getting the point? Eve got some bad advice, brother. She got some bad advice from a bad dude in a real good place.
That's right.
I don't think this church is as good as the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
If we leave, he ain't going to take it up to heaven. He ain't going to hide it. He ain't going to be no cherubim standing out there with flaming swords saying, don't come in.
Yeah. Right.
You better get a hold of it tonight.
That's right. Yeah.
So we've seen what happened. We've seen the cause of it. Look at verse 25. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared. Now we're talking about the replacements here. We're talking about the people that came in place of them. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Let me ask you something tonight, folks. That Bible said, talked about the lions coming. It talks about that they didn't know the manner of the God of the land. Let me ask you something tonight, folks. Is somebody here tonight that's just playing church? Is there somebody here tonight that's just learned the manner of the God of the land?
Yeah.
Or you just learned the manner of the God of the land because the lions aren't coming no more, Brother Joe. The lions aren't coming no more and slaying you. Everything's good. We got a good house now. We got 2 or 3 good cars. Our sons are doing good. We're eating good. We're eating good. Amen. We're eating good. Everything's going good. We got a good job. We got a fat bank account. We come to church. But it's all for fun. What's the point? It's vanity. If you're not doing it for the Lord. If you're not serving the Lord, you're not doing something what he gave you. That Bible said, for whom much is given, much is required. And God's giving you all these things. And he's giving you a good church, a Bible-believing church. This church is a dinosaur. My parents, I talked to my mother today. She goes to Maranatha. Brother, let me tell you, they say they preach from King James, but they don't. They believe other books. This is a dinosaur. You are blessed among all things to come to a Bible-believing church with a Bible-believing preacher.
Amen.
They're praying that he gets, they're praying the preacher gets right. The preacher's praying for you to get right.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Amen.
So he says, then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. So I ask you tonight, the question about playing church is, when God sent a preacher, are you going to be the one he sent? Are you going to be a preacher, or are you just going to be one of them that shows them the ropes?
Yeah.
You just going to show that young person the ropes, are you? You're going to show them what's all right. You don't got to go out street preaching. You don't got to do no street evangelism. You don't got to go knock on the door. It's all right. You're coming to church. It's okay, Brother Earl. You're coming to church. Yeah. You're doing good. You're not out doing that. You're not smoking cigarettes and chewing dip, and you're not drinking and carrying on. You're not fornicating. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're what?
Not wise.
It's not all right to not serve the Lord. It's not cool to just come to church on Sunday and play the part. Are you showing them the ropes, brother? Or are you teaching them how to serve the Lord?
Amen.
Are you thankful that God sent somebody your way one day that could knock on your door? What if they never came? You say, well, I was born in church from the nursery. I was in church from diapers. Yeah, so was I. Big deal. I went out in the world, did drugs, did all that stuff. What's the deal? What's going on? What's going on is that you're playing the game. You're teaching them the ropes, and you're going to send them to a devil's hell. You don't know if the person sitting next to you saved or not.
That's right.
You don't know what they're dealing with. You only know what they're telling you.
Yeah, that's right.
You only know what's on the outside of the cup. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what's going on at their house. We got people in this church tonight that they're worried about their mother and father getting divorced. We got people in this church that's worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, how they're going to pay their bills. We're worried about, am I going to serve the Lord? Am I supposed to go to Bible school? What am I supposed to do? And here you come. It's all right. I'll show you the ropes.
Yeah.
I'll show you how to play church. You can stand in front of the pulpit and hide it. You can stand out in the street and hide it. You can do whatever you want, just as long as everything looks good, brother. I'll show you the ropes. Amen? I'll amen it. Amen. 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 Sin is still sin. God's still on the throne. He ain't went into the sinning business, brother. And sin's still sin. Let's call it how it is. It's sin. You need to get your heart right. There's a lot of things going on in this passage. Look what he said. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. Verse 33, here's the message. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. That's the question tonight, folks. Who are you serving? That Bible said that no man can serve two masters.
Right.
You'll either love one and hate the other. Right here, Matthew 20, verse 6. In about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here idle all the day? If you ain't serving God, you're idle. You're not serving God, who are you going to serve? But I want to show you something real quick, and I can't take full credit for this because, like I said, today's Mother's Day. I'm going to give my wife credit. She showed me this, and it was amazing to me. Look at that passage right there. Where is it at? Verse 30, chapter 17, verse 30. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashimah, and the Avites made Nibhaz, and Tartak, and Sepharvite, burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anamelech, the gods of the Sepharvaims. You want to be like the world? You want to serve their gods? You want to fear the Lord just enough to play church? Look at this thing. These three gods, they stood out to me. These false idols, these gods they made. Cuth, he was a Mesopotamian god of death, war, and destruction. Serving other gods, you're bringing death on your family. You're bringing destruction. You reap the corruption, you sow corruption, or vice versa. Adrammelech and Amalek, he's similar to the same god as Amalek, the sacrifice of their children. You're sacrificing your children. When you're not serving God and you're not doing right and you know to do right and you show your kids a testimony and you show other young church members, hey, it's all right.
That's right.
You're sacrificing them.
Right.
You're sacrificing them to that God. Hey.
Yes,
and look at this last one, Babylon. Picture of Rome. Sukkoth-Benoth. Look what it said. Here's how they did. They worshiped this god or goddess. I looked this up. By committing acts of fornication, prostitution, in the temples dedicated to their God. Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I'm wondering tonight with great admiration. You're fornicating against God. You're committing spiritual fornication when you don't serve him. When you serve other gods, when you let other things get in your heart, that Bible said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Amen.
It's more than just an organ that's pumping blood in your body. It's the center. You're going to take time to study that thing out and understand some things. You know why most people come into church, they don't get nothing? Because your heart's hard.
Amen.
You know why your heart's hard? Because you're filling it with all kinds of junk. You know why? I'll tell you a testimony. We did that gym night over there, and I'm comparing the two things. We went out street preaching. This is our third season street preaching. Hard ground. We're not seeing very much fruit out there. But the Lord wants us to be out there, so we're out there doing what the Lord told us to do. So we've seen what, Brother Joe? Maybe 10, 12 people saved in 3 years. We go over here to gym night. Their hearts are tender. They're soft. And they come over there, and we see 5, 6 people get saved in a couple months. Bam, bam, bam. Souls slipping off into eternity. Souls slipping off eternity. Every second, right now, there's souls slipping off eternity. Somebody's burning in hell. You're not paying attention. Somebody's burning in hell right now. Somebody's getting ready to die right now. Can you bear it? Can you live with it? They're dying. They're going to hell right now. So you commit fornication. You don't care. You're selfish. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ wasn't selfish when he came to that cross and he died for you. I'm asking you tonight, who are you serving? And I want to tell you, and I've showed you, and I've pretty much showed you what the results of disobedience are. That could be our church tonight, folks. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's got some issue going on and got something that you need to get right. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. If you don't want to come up to the altar, ask the Lord where you're at. But get it right. Get your heart right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.